Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hi, this is Chad Sniffen from Prevent Connect, and today we're talking to Debjani Roy, the Deputy Director of Hollaback. How are you, Debjani?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Great, great. I'm looking forward to talking to you about the manual that you have developed, which is called An Employer, Union, and Service Provider's Guide to Responding to Street Harassment. So, Debjani, why don't you tell us about this manual and where the inspiration to create it came to be?
Street harassment or sexual harassment in public spaces is a seriously underreported and underrecognized form of gender-based violence, which means that there is very little legislation on the issue. It doesn't stand on the same level as other forms of sexual assault, domestic violence, stalking, and workplace harassment. So there is no workplace guidelines that protects employees and clients and union members from their experiences of harassment. Whereas for domestic violence, stalking, and other forms of sexual assault and workplace harassment, there's a lot of legislation that exists, and there are a lot of programs that help support survivors in the workplace. So at Hollaback, we decided that being one of the few organizations that's addressing street harassment, that we should come up with guides for institutions to sort of learn about what street harassment is and also provide guidelines for them to use in their various capacities. So, for example, we would like to in the future work with schools, perhaps work on bullying curriculums. And in this case, for this guide, we thought it would be a good idea to reach out to employers and talk to them about how they can support their employees and create an overall healthy environment for those who are experiencing harassment outside of the workplace on their way to work or leaving work or during their lunch break or during other breaks.
Yes, I think when people think about harassment in the workplace, they do think about all of the protections that have kind of developed over time, and then to add the idea of harassment on your way to work or leaving work or in the in the area, the peripheral areas around work. A lot of employers may not think, well, you know, I can't do anything about the street or I can't do anything about the environment outside my workplace. What would you say to that, to an employer who's bringing that concern to you?
Yeah, I guess the general perspective is that the employers can respond to whatever's happening on the work site, or they can deal with a sort of third site if it's a holiday party or if it's a team development outing or something like that. They can respond to cases of harassment in those situations. And if it's on the premise, like in the entrance of the building, but if it's just outside the building or, you know, on the way to the workplace, there aren't many legal protections for survivors. So employers can't do a lot in the formal sense, but there's a lot that they can do informally. For example, they can provide things like reasonable accommodations. And I guess I should put this disclaimer out there that this guide isn't a substitute for legal advice, but it's more a guide for good practices in the workplace and around the workplace. So something like reasonable accommodations exists in the case for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault and workplace harassment, but it doesn't exist for street harassment. But we can suggest that they do provide reasonable accommodations, like providing different routes to work or options to work from home or provide transportation for employees, things like that they can do.
So what was this process of putting together the guide like for you? I know that Hollaback does a lot of work and has done a lot of work, you know, around street harassment. But like you're saying, this is kind of a new concept in the workplace and for employers. What was it like to put together the guide, and who did you talk to? And what kind of things did you learn from the process of that?
We worked with two experts. One person, Special Hagen, is a legal expert on these issues. And we worked with Casey Wagner from the Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. We've worked with her in the past in releasing two studies on this very subject. So it was absolutely crucial to work with people who already know about what legislation exists around issues of protecting survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault and other forms of violence. And they heavily informed some of the content of the guide, because just being an advocate for women and LGBTQ rights, I didn't necessarily have that expertise. And in the guide, it's interesting because we're defining what street harassment is. So we're starting from ground zero, and then we're going all the way into what employers can do to protect their employees or what service providers can do to protect their clients. So we're actually writing this thing that has never existed, and it's the first-time document. So it's something that's a work in progress. We're treating it as a first version, but it's something that hopefully we'll be able to develop over time as the law kind of catches up with us on dealing with this issue of street harassment.
Well, you know, exploring new territory often, not always, but is often exciting. As you continue to explore this territory, what do you want to do with that second version? Where do you see the trajectory of this manual going towards in the next 2 years?
As we're analyzing what street harassment is, it's a spectrum of actions, and some of those actions are punishable, actually, under existing laws. For example, the more overt physical acts like the groping, the touching, all of the things that include overt physical acts, like I just said. But the former half of the spectrum, it's not necessarily taken seriously as a form of gender-based violence, like the leering, the catcalling, the lip smacking, the verbal assaults and comments. It's not seen as affecting people necessarily. But studies have shown, the very few studies that exist do show, that the effects of the non-physical acts of street harassment have an equal effect, especially when it happens repeatedly. It does have equal effects, such as anxiety, leads to anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, low self-esteem, like the same effects that this kind of behavior has in cases of domestic violence. So there is a relationship between how people are affected by street harassment and how people are affected by what other people would consider more severe forms of gender-based violence. So I would maybe want to develop the guide in a way that maybe perhaps more nuanced in terms of specifically what street harassment looks like and how each form of harassment has a corresponding or doesn't have a corresponding piece of legislation that protects survivors, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some does warrant protections and some doesn't. Some of the forms don't. Mm-hmm. So it's a very complex matter. And in order to develop a guide like this, we have to develop our understanding of street harassment.
The way that I've seen street harassment develop, the idea and the response mm-hmm. to street harassment develop over the last few years is that, much like rape crisis centers in the United States 20, 30 years ago, there's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done. You know, just giving
Absolutely.
People the idea. Yeah. You've been with Hollaback for a little bit less than a year now, right?
7 months.
So in 7 months of talking about street harassment full time, what's the most surprising thing about doing that for the last 7 months?
I knew this before I started working here, but just how widespread it is.
Yeah.
And the many different forms it takes around the world, in different parts of the world. I know that firsthand. I know that from experiences in India and in the UK and here in the US. Mm-hmm. But to just hear people's accounts of it, it's amazing how, like, what the common threads are, how the behaviors are the same, how the effects are the same. I find that very interesting. And when we have cross-cultural dialogues between our various sites around the world, it's always great, not great, it's always interesting to see how street harassment plays out in different parts and how common it is mm-hmm. amongst all the different cultures and nations. So nobody can attribute it to a particular culture. It's pretty much a global problem.
Yes, it's this foundational problem with society, which makes it an interesting problem to tackle. And I think that this guide will be a great step in terms of addressing that global problem. So how can people find the guide? Where can they go to look for it?
We will have it on our website, ihollaback.org, under our resources section. It should be front and center under our resources section.
Great. Well, thank you for telling us about it, and thank you for all your work against street harassment.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.